There's a power waiting for you. There's a grace that God has for you. There's a depth. There's a perseverance. There's an enduring quality. All of that's hidden in these setbacks. But as I make a commitment, I start harvesting all of these treasures that I'm going to need to steward what God has for your life and your future. And your, if you could see what God has for you, it'd blow your mind. Now it's up to us. But we've got to throw our heart over the line for Jesus. And when you do, everything starts to fall in line.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Starting a journey often comes with emotional highs and dreams of what lies ahead. But as time passes and we encounter hardship, it can be tempting to throw in the towel, whether it be in your marriage, your career, even your faith. Today, Pastor Wayne shares the importance of holding to our commitment. Here he is with a message entitled, When Newness Turns to Commitment.
The second thing is that I love about commitment is expect it to build your faith, because that's the bottom line. Expect it to build your faith, because when you're going through commitment, it's really about faith, because the Bible says, as is thy faith, so shall it be done unto you. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those who come to him, says Hebrews, must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder. A what? A rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Without faith. So faith is the bottom line. It builds your faith to trust God. As I said, everyone knows that something constructive often is born out of adversity. A job that you didn't get. And then you say, well, I'm just going to start a business on my own. And it flourishes. And you go, whoa, I would never have gotten here if I hadn't had faced that adversity. Or something, that a prayer that didn't come to pass, and you look back on it later and say, whew, I remember this girl, her name was Cheryl. She was a babe, and is in high school. But she didn't even know I existed. And she was a cheerleader. And I thought, I was just so in love with this girl. And I would pray. I wasn't even a Christian. Lord, I pray that you let this girl marry me. God, I want to marry this girl. You know, and I didn't even know God then. But if you answer this prayer, I'll become a Christian. But I just said, Lord, I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for this girl to be my wife. Well, she didn't even pay attention to me. Well, I moved on. That prayer was never answered. But 30 years later, I went to our 30-year reunion and I saw Cheryl. I'm glad God didn't answer that prayer. Just saying. But you know, the cool thing is, God never takes you through a trial wherein he doesn't give you something of equal or greater value in return. The Bible says that God keeps track of the tears. Do you know that? The psalmist says he collects our tears in a bottle. God never wastes a hurt. God never wastes a hurt. I go through some tough times. I remember when I pioneered a church in Hawaii. I have a stack, I was going to bring it, a stack of letters that's at least this thick of hate letters asking me to leave the islands, calling me names, and criticizing the ministry. And they just said, you're a cult. You're just telling lies. That's why people are going. You're stealing this. You're doing that. And I remember every letter, I would take it to God, say, God, is this me? Am I that bad? And I would rub my knees into the carpet. And I just wanted to quit, because after a while, it just starts stacking up. And I would say, you know, obviously, I'm not seeing something that they are. And so I must be bad. And I remember praying one time, and like Nehemiah, I had this letter before God on a little altar. And I said, God, is this me? Should I quit? And the Lord said, see these people as your friends. I said, friends? These are my critics. He said, no, you have to see them as your friends. I said, I maybe friends of my enemies, but they're not my friends. He said, no, you have to see them as your friends and pray for them. So I said, okay, I'll pray for them. Lord, burn their eyes in their sockets. No, your friends. I couldn't figure out why. Then I began to understand, where was I right now? I was on my knees. What was I doing? Praying. What else was I doing? I was purging my heart. I was saying, like in Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and see if there be any wicked way in me. And it was like the Lord was saying, who was it that brought you to this point? It wasn't your friends. My wife, she's like an angel, and I can lay an egg. It would be so bad. She'll go, oh, that was a beautiful egg that you laid. You know, she's just so complimentary. My family's so complimentary. They're always so nice. It's my critics that go, you stink. I don't like that point. You better rethink what you're saying. You see, God was saying, they're the ones that take you to your knees. They're the ones that have you evaluate your heart. Not your friends, it's your critics. And then he said this, I'll never forget it. He said, Wayne, never despise anything that takes you to your knees. Thank me for that, because I'm about to do a good work in you. I thought, wow. You see, we have to expect a price to be paid when we make a commitment, but we have to also expect that it's going to build our faith. Let's read this next verse here out of James 1 and verse 12. Would you read it with me? Go. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Oh, I love that verse. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. You see, there's an approving, or they're certifying. There's a ratification of my life and yours as we go through a time of commitment and we hit the valleys and we learn from them. And that becomes a treasure. Ah, that's it. I'm going to draw you a graph, and I want you to take a look at this. And it'll come up on the screen here. But let's take a look at this graph here. I'm going to draw a graph that this is 100% excitement. This is the newness of things. You're very excited. This is like, woo, when your graph goes up here, bong, it's like, man, it's my birthday, it's Christmas, I just won the lottery kind of deal. It's like, ooh, this is just wonderful. Now, these here will be weeks of the year. Each year, 52 weeks. And this is going to be your faith graph, how your faith is growing as you are in Christ. Now, a lot of you, like 125, received Christ since Easter. So when you first come to Christ, it is like, wow, this is so cool. So right here, your excitement goes, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo, God loves me, people love me. I am just so excited. Now, you don't know much yet in your faith. Your faith is like just this tall, because you only know one scripture, like John 3:16. Some of you are 10 years old in the Lord, and that's still the only scripture you know. But your faith is way down here. But man, I am just totally excited. People like me. They hug me at church. This is wonderful. Now, you come to another service. You learn a little bit more, and your faith grows incrementally like this. And you're excited. Things are going well. And then you go to another service, a men's ministry. Woohoo! Man, I really grew on that one. Man, I went to this little clinic here. Wow. But then you sign up for serving. And they say, okay, hey, would you set up the chairs? So you set up chairs, and the guy comes back and goes, hey, not that way, the other way. You go, no, I think this is the best. No, you do it this other way. You go, what a stupid church. And your excitement goes, psh. Not as good as I thought they were. They thought they were Christians. And then you say, well, I got to go to church because I like the music and that preacher's pretty good. And so I grow. I keep coming to church. He's pretty funny. So I'm going to go next week. And my faith grows because of my jokes. And it grows a little bit more. Now, your faith is incrementally growing. But then you come the next Sunday and someone sat in my chair. What? Someone parked in my parking place. Idiots, they know it's my parking spot. Now, it's not as nice, it's not as zealous. You're not as zealous as you were before, but you keep coming because your wife makes you. And so you come again, you grow a little bit, you heard another message, and your faith starts to grow. And then your wife says, take out the rubbish. She goes, I can't believe it. I don't do that. A kid should do it. Now, right about there, when your zeal is not as high as it used to be, right about here, a lot of people drop out. Whether it's from a church, let's find a new church. That was no good. I thought they were Christians. They're not even like Buddhists. Yeah, there's nothing. Yeah, I'm just going to drop out. We drop out. We look for a change. Another spouse, another job, another church. But really, all God is saying is, I'm taking the air out of your zeal. And maybe for the first time, you're meeting the level of your faith. This is the actual level of your faith. You thought it was way up here when it's way down here. You're still growing. Now you have to make a choice. Are you going to bail out halfway and find another starting point? Or are you just going to push through it? Because sometimes we just have to motor through that valley. It's muddy down there. It's not as nice, not as convenient, but you motor through it. And you work through it. And you say, no, God's called me, so I'm just going to keep going. And God's called me here, called me to the church. I'm going to stick with it. God's speaking to my heart, speaking to my family. And then you just keep, you go. But you're walking not by feeling anymore. You're walking by faith. And so your faith starts to grow. Maybe not necessarily excited as it used to be. You have to understand that one definition of commitment is staying true to a worthy decision after the emotion of having made that decision has passed. And your faith continues to grow through the hard times, through the thick times, through the thin times. Decisions need to be made, and you make them. But I want you to watch what's happening now. This newness here, that sense of excitement, starts to incrementally return. But this time, it's not based on air. It's based on faith. And you keep pressing through, regardless of the cost. You stay with it. And I tell you what happens is, after a while, when you keep growing your faith and you're walking by faith, not by feelings anymore, because that was a big turnaround. That was a huge intersection in your life. And you did that well. I want you to see what happens here. Now, after a while, mark my words, what you sensed in the beginning, you begin to sense again. But it's not just zeal. This time, it turns to something called joy. Not happiness, not zeal. You begin to understand. And that's where Nehemiah says, for the joy of the Lord is your James chapter 1, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, which means go all the way through, so that in the end you'll be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Because you see, happiness is different from joy. Zeal is different from joy. Zeal is based on emotion and air. Joy is based on faith. Do you see the difference? And when that happens, you will have a joy that's based on solid rock faith. And when that happens, God says, I will give you the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. For blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. He'll receive the crown of life, which I promise to those who love me. Pretty good, huh? Can you say amen to that? So expect to build your faith, and God will, but you stay with it. Even when your newness is bottoming out, you're not, it's not a bad church. It may not even be a bad marriage. It may not be a bad whatever job. It just may be that your zeal is meeting your faith level. And now you have to build your faith, not your zeal, not your emotion again, not your excitement, your faith. And that requires commitment. But then when you go through that, well, I tell you, you can expect God's rewards. God will reward you. When you come through the end, there's a reward. And he picks up all of the character qualities that you built in the midst of commitment. You didn't take that side door. Did you have opportunities to? Oh, absolutely. Do you think Jesus had opportunities to quit his commitment to you and me? Woo-hoo. Lots of them. But he stayed committed. And how many of us are glad that he stuck all the way through to our redemption and our eternal life? And now he's teaching us the same heart. The only difference is he had the character of God already in him as he stayed committed. We are being changed from glory to glory. We are still changing. We are still learning. And that's going to come after we make a commitment and throw our heart over the line. John Bunyan, in his book, The Pilgrim's Progress, takes character qualities like patience or commitment, and he personifies them, puts it into a character. And this one person whose name was Commitment, John Bunyan is trying to teach what commitment is. So a young man is called to move to this town, and he knows he's supposed to move there. So he takes all of his belongings, all of his life belongings, puts it in a big backpack, and everything he owns, everything he's ever owned is in there. And he travels to this city far away in another land. He finally arrives at the city, and it's a walled city. 7-8 foot wall. He can hear people talking inside, laughing. In fact, he walks around and he calls to them, "Hey, where's the door?" They said, "You'll have to find it yourself." "What?" So he goes around a second time, a third time. There's no entrance. It's just a solid wall around the city. So he yells to the people on the inside, "How do I get in?" They said, "Climb over the wall." He said, "Okay." So he took off his backpack of everything he has and threw it over the wall. And as soon as his backpack went over, he was committed. You see, with your marriage, your faith, with your family, with your church, you got to throw your heart over the wall. You got to throw your heart over the line. I'm in this for the long run. God's going to teach me a bunch of stuff, and some of the stuff's going to come in classrooms of struggle. Some of God's greatest gifts will come to you wrapped in struggle paper. But you stay with it because I want to understand the heart of commitment that Jesus had for me, because I want his heart to be mine. And as you stay through that, then you conquer it. You begin to understand character, maturity. There's an anointing waiting for you. There's an authority waiting for you. There's a power waiting for you. There's a grace that God has for you. There's a depth. There's a perseverance. There's an enduring quality. All of that's hidden in these setbacks. But as I make a commitment, I start harvesting all of these treasures that I'm going to need to steward what God has for your life and your future. If you could see what God has for you, it would blow your mind. Now it's up to us. But we've got to throw our heart over the line for Jesus. And when you do, everything starts to fall in line. Jesus said this to his disciples. He said, "You're going to have to expect some problems. You're going to have to expect some setbacks." And he said it this way. Let's read it together, this last scripture, as we come to our conclusion. Would you read it? Go. "Truly I tell you," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or fathers or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and lest you forget, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." God says, "I'll reward you." But you see, it's not just the longevity of it, it's what you find in the adversity of it. That's going to be the treasures that I designed you to get. And when you get those, harvest them, because it's going to be required to steward the rewards that I have for you. Marriage, your children, their future, your life, your spiritual life, your authority, your influence, all that you have will need to be stewarded well. Stay committed. And God will never take you through an adversity wherein he will not give you something of equal or greater value in return. Mark my words. And when there are tears, he'll collect all of them in a bottle. Because God will never waste a hurt. He'll use it for his glory and your future. Let me finish with a story of a young man that was a shepherd in Israel, and he was committed to God. In fact, he made a makeshift altar, and every morning he would kneel on his knees and pray, dedicate his heart to God. God, I commit everything to you. I trust you. I trust you. And there's three things that a shepherd needs. One is a staff, uses it to ward off predators in case they come to eat the sheep. So he protects the sheep with it, acts like a javelin. And then a cloak, because in the day it's hot, so he uses it as a cover by day. And then at night it drops to be very cold, and so he uses it as a cloak. And then sandals. I don't know if you've ever been yet to Israel, but it's just the fields are riddled with stones. It'll cut your feet to shreds if you don't have sandals. Well, one morning after he was done committing again himself to God, he got up, took up his staff and cloak, and started moving towards the sheepfold when the Lord spoke to him. Son, he said, come back and give me your staff. He said, Lord, you know I need a staff. What if a predator comes? I have no recourse. I need the staff. Lord said, son, give me your staff. He said, okay, I've committed myself to be completely his and whatever he says. And so he went back to that makeshift altar and put his staff on the altar and said, Lord, this is yours. And he got up off his knees and started going to the sheepfold when the Lord spoke to him a second time and said, son, come back and give me your cloak. He said, Lord, you know I need a cloak. It's going to be hot today and cold tonight. If I relinquish this cloak, I may not make it through the night, son. He said, give me your cloak. Okay. And so God, having tested his commitment, he came back and laid his cloak on the altar. He got up and started walking to the sheepfolds when the Lord spoke to him a third time and said, son, give me your sandals. At that point, he started to argue, saying, God, I won't make it 100 feet out there without cutting my feet to shreds. Lord, I need these sandals. The Lord simply said, give me your sandals. So he walked back and put his sandals on the altar and said, okay, you got it all now. Here it is. It's all yours. And gingerly he began walking towards the sheepfolds when the Lord spoke to him a fourth time, said, son, where's your staff? He said, I have none. You know you need a staff. I have none. Your cloak. You need a cloak. I have none. What about sandals? None. The Lord said, I tell you what, why don't you come back to the altar and take my staff? And because it's mine, it is now a scepter. Take my cloak. Because it's mine, I give it to you, and it is now a mantle. And take my sandals. Because it's mine, it will shod your feet with a gospel of peace. And it will take you wherever I ask. And you see, that's how God is. He doesn't want something from us. He wants to give something to us that's anointed from above. And when we make a commitment, that's when all of that happens. If we bail out, we'll never find out. I don't know about you, but I think it's time that we be a people who are committed to God's very best, because when he finds that group of people, there's nothing that heaven will not withhold from us. Let's make a difference with our lives, and let's be a people who have a heart after God's own heart. Can you say amen to that? Amen.
You've been listening to a message entitled When Newness Turns to Commitment by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. We trust it has been an encouragement to you today. Until next time, remember what Pastor Wayne said.
There's a power waiting for you. There's a grace that God has for you. There's a depth. There's a perseverance. There's an enduring quality. All of that's hidden in these setbacks. But as I make a commitment, I start harvesting all of these treasures that I'm going to need to steward what God has for your life and your future. And if you could see what God has for you, it'd blow your mind. now it's up to us. But we've got to throw our heart over the line for Jesus. And when you do, everything starts to fall in line.
Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, God bless you and have a great day in the Lord.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.